magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Tuesday, July 4th, 2017. Happy 4th of July, everyone. Before I return to Pastor Herb Coates of the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church in Champaign and complete his 35-40-minute message, with the first part being broadcasted yesterday during the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, and we'll play the whole message in its entirety. In fact, we'll pick up on a second point about focusing on others and then learn about how Paul totally surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, as Herb's message was entitled, Wanting One Thing and Getting Something Else, using Acts 16, 6-10 as his text. And yesterday we learned a bit about how to cope when things don't turn out the way we planned, how we might be going one direction and that's what we want to see happen or be accomplished, and God kind of derails that or takes us a whole different way. We learned about turning many defeats into victories, and I'll start us right where he was talking about those ifs. If I would have done this, if this would have happened. And we don't want to live life with the ifs. We want to learn to surrender and follow the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Yield to God and new things will occur. But first, with today being the 4th of July, here's America the Beautiful. And then we'll hear from Pastor Herb Coates of the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church in Champaign. That arrangement, especially on today, the 4th of July, as we celebrate our independence, always knowing that we still remain utterly dependent on God and His grace and mercy and love, and how He extends to all of us a measure of compassion that we can hardly understand. What a great God we serve, and that's a great song to remember. Well, as mentioned, Pastor Herb Coates of the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, a week ago Sunday, preached out of Acts chapter 16. His message was titled, Wanting One Thing and Getting Something Else. And you heard the first 20 minutes of that message yesterday. And we'll back it up just a little as he's making his second point about Paul focusing on others. And then we'll learn about how Paul surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I pray we'll all find many points of application as we learn to yield to God and turn around those defeats maybe in our lives into victories for Him. Here's Pastor Herb Coates.
Another thing that Paul did that enabled him to turn a situation of defeat into victory is that Paul continued focusing on others. He was able to get his eyes off of himself and onto others. The trouble with many of us is we land in Troas and we begin to pity ourselves. Now, Paul could have done that. He could have started off in that process that some of us are so good at, you know, ifing. If I had not missed Bithynia, if my plans had not been broken, I mean, I had given up everything for Jesus Christ. Today I could be one of the great rabbis of Jerusalem, saluted in the marketplace. I've given it all up for Christ. I spent a long time in Arabia thinking through the gospel. I spent 14 years in a trying, difficult, unrecognized ministry in Cilicia, at odds even with fellow Christians because once I persecuted them. And now when I'm just beginning to get on good footing with fellow Christians, with Barnabas and a few others who really trust me, I've come up through Asia Minor on this preaching mission. See what they've done to me? They stoned me and left me for dead in Lystra. And even after that, all I asked was that I might have a chance to go into Bithynia and do some good work there. And now I can't. My plans are broken. How easy it would have been for Paul to feel sorry for himself in Troas, but he didn't. On the contrary, he continued focusing on others. He wondered if there wasn't someone who might be better off because he landed in Troas. And he hadn't been there a night when he had this vision of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." And it was Paul's unselfishness that opened the doors for him in Troas and led to the evangelization of Europe. By the way, did you notice that this Macedonian call did not come to a man who was doing nothing? It came to one who was actively serving the Lord. It was not a call to begin serving the Lord or to become a missionary, but rather it was a clarification of direction in an existing ministry. Let me illustrate. You can turn the steering wheel of your car all day long, but if your car isn't moving, you won't get anywhere. You can sit around and you can pray for God's direction for service, but you won't get it if you're not already serving Him. Start doing something to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will redirect you if you need to. Now, Paul exhibited the secret for all of us who find ourselves in Troas. Love. Love for those who need us. Someone has said nothing makes a person strong like love. A mother is completely worn out. She's been telling her friends for weeks that she has no strength left. And then one of her children gets sick and needs her. And for days and nights on end, she stays by her sick child and thinks nothing of being tired. Nothing makes a person strong like a call for help. Our Troas so often seems so overwhelming and miserable because we think only of ourselves. We need in the midst of our Troas to envision a needy Macedonian saying, "Come over and help me." And when we do that, our defeat can turn into victory. So much depends on how we look at our situation. When Paul landed in Troas, his imagination was not filled with defeat, but with victory. You see, our imagination can make or break us. You put a 2x12 plank a foot off of the ground, few of us would have any difficulty walking that, right? However, if you put that same 2x12 plank 60 feet off of the ground, few of us would have enough nerve to try walking it. The physical difficulties of walking it aren't any greater at 60 feet than they are at 1 foot, but our imagination keeps picturing us falling off. When we get into Troas, sometimes we just think defeat. We complain because we wanted Bithynia, but we're in Troas and we think defeat and we say defeat and we imagine defeat and we are defeated. Notice again, when Paul landed in Troas, he saw an open door, a man who needed help and a new opportunity, and so he turned Troas into victory. What helped him most, I suppose, was that his thought, and we don't know this from the text, but we know it, we can imagine it from the rest of Paul's writings, that his imagination, his thought took him back to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a Troas to land on. What a Bithynia it would have been if people had just accepted Jesus as the Messiah, but his Bithynia was shut off, and he came to his Troas, his Calvary, and he clothed it with the purpose of God, and through it reached out in love to people everywhere. He took a very hard thing and made of it a triumph. Lastly, I would point out that what enabled Paul to turn a situation of defeat into victory was the fact that Paul totally surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that if we fully commit ourselves to the Lord, He will guide our steps and redeem our life situations for good. I want to remind you that God is not only a good guide, He is also a good fixer. We can have confidence that God can teach us and grow us up even if we have taken the wrong path. Since God can make new paths and can create new highways, we will never be totally locked into a place where God can't reach us. Oh, we might have to suffer negative consequences, but even then we won't suffer them alone. God will be right there with us. Friends, I am convinced that at any point in life, a person can yield to the rightful lordship of Jesus Christ. And I'm also convinced that at that point of surrender, God will enter into a new relationship with that person to construct a whole new plan for their life. Up to that point, and I believe God just takes what's happened in that person's life and He says, let's see what we can do with these things in your past. I am the God who can use even your tragedies and failures as a basis for ministry to other people. Let me take what you are and remold the components of your life in such a way that your flaws and your failures become the very clay from which a special instrument of my will is molded. I am the God who makes all things new. I am the God who can bring beauty out of ashes. I am the God who can restore the years the locusts have taken. I am the God who can achieve glorious things through your weaknesses and the shortcomings of your life. I am the God for whom miracles are never impossible. You know, the Apostle Paul was not in the will of God when he was trying to achieve his salvation by works. Yet who can deny that when he surrendered to Jesus, God took the scholarly achievements of Paul and used them as a part of a new design for his life? And who can deny that Paul's prideful days of trying to earn his salvation through the study of the Torah were later to be used dramatically and effectively for reaching people with the gospel? God has a way of taking our past life experiences, Paul's and yours and mine, and finding ways to use them to accomplish for the kingdom things beyond what any of us could ever hope or think. Who will deny that former gang members like Nikki Cruz and Tom Skinner were led to use experiences that in their pre-Christian days became launching pads for ministries in the inner cities later? Because of where they had been and what they had done when they were out of the will of God, they were able to relate to and understand and witness to tough teenagers later when they were in the will of God. All of this is simply to say that if you yield to God here and now, through the Holy Spirit, a new plan will be constructed for the rest of your life. Regardless of how much time or how little time you have left in this world, God can make your life count for the kingdom as you yield to the Holy Spirit and seek to be and do as the Spirit leads from this day forward. I believe that with all my heart. I close with this story. Reverend Everett Howard was a veteran missionary to the Cape Verde Islands. And let me close with his personal account of how he learned to put himself completely in the hands of God. He said, I've spent 36 years in missionary service, a lifetime that has passed so quickly. About 50 years ago, when I was just a young boy, I knew God was calling me, but I was confused. I didn't know just where or when or what He wanted me to do. Years passed and I went on through school and college and into Lincoln and Lee Dental University in Kansas City, Missouri. I was still fighting and battling away, unsure of God's direction for my life. One day, I came to the point of a definite decision. My dad was a Christian and his prayers were inspirational, but that was secondhand. I wanted something that could be mine, something that I could take through life with me. So I went into the little church where my dad was pastoring and I locked the doors so I could be alone. I guess I was ashamed for anyone to hear me pray, but that's the way it was. I knelt down at the little altar and I took out a piece of paper and a pencil. And I said, now God, this is going to be for life. And I listed everything on that page. I filled it with promises of what I would do for God, including my willingness to be a missionary and every possible alternative I could think of. I promised to sing in the choir and give my tithes and read the Bible and do all the things that I thought God might want me to do. And I had a long list of promises, and I really meant them. Then when I finished that well-written page, I signed my name at the bottom and I laid it at the altar. And there alone in the church, I looked up and I waited for the thunder and lightning or some act of approval from the Lord. I thought I might experience what St. Paul did on the road to Damascus or something equally dramatic. I knew that God must be terribly proud of me, a young fellow who would make a consecration like that. But nothing happened. It was quiet, still, and I was so disappointed. I couldn't understand it, so I thought I must have forgotten something. And I took out that pencil again, and I tried to think about what I could have left out. And I couldn't remember anything else. And I prayed again, and I told the Lord that I'd put everything possible on that paper. Still nothing happened, though I waited and waited. Then it came. I felt the voice of God speaking to my heart. And He didn't shout or hit me over the head. I just felt in my own soul a voice speak so clearly. He said, "Son, you're going about it all wrong. I don't want consecration like this. What up that paper that you've just written on?" I said, "All right, Lord." And I took that paper that I'd written on so carefully and I wadded it up. The voice of God seemed to whisper again, "Son, I want you to take a blank piece of paper and I want you to sign your name at the bottom of it and you let me fill it in." Oh, that's different, Lord," I cried. But I did what He said there at the altar in that little church. It was just a secret between me and God as I signed the paper, and God has been filling it in for the past 36 years. Maybe I'm glad I didn't know what was going to be written on that page. Things like lying sick in the lonely mountains of the Cape Verde Islands, burning up with fever with no medicine and no doctor in the closest hospital 3,000 miles away. And the famine, when almost a third of the population in our part of the country had starved to death, money wasn't coming through, 9 months without one single check or a penny, everything we owned had to be sold in order to live. That wasn't written on the page until the time came. But you know, those were the most blessed days because God was there. And if I could turn around and do it again, I'd go every step of the way that we've traveled for the last 36 years. Friends, I hope that you and I will also put our names on the bottom of a blank sheet of paper and let God fill it in, regardless of where He leads. Of this I am absolutely confident. If we do, He will turn our situations of defeat into victory for our good and for His glory.
And all of God's people said, Amen and Amen. You've been listening to a message as preached a week ago Sunday at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church in Champaign. That was Pastor Herb Coates preaching out of Exodus chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, with his message titled, Wanting One Thing and Getting Something Else. And Pastor Herb concluded the service by encouraging folks to come up to the altar, to the front of the church, and pick up a blank piece of paper, sign their name to it, take it with them, put it in the Bible or put it on the refrigerator or put it as a keepsake somewhere, to be mindful of the fact that God wants a blank piece of paper signed by us where He'll fill in the blanks, basically giving control, oversight, and the opportunity to direct our lives as He sees fit, not necessarily according to what we want to do or the places we want to go, but surrendering it all to His guiding, leading, and orchestration. A powerful reminder to remember to see the defeats in our lives as potential victories when we allow God to make something out of it. One of those best ways to cope with disappointments, or when we're wanting to go one direction and it seems like God diverts us somewhere else, is that we hold fast that God has a purpose for our lives, and when we put Him in the driver's seat or relinquish control to Him, things will work out best. We'll also to remember to focus on others, not necessarily just on ourselves and what we want to accomplish or do, but look at the broader plan and the purposes why He may have us in certain situations. And then lastly, to be mindful that we need to surrender to His lordship, His leading, His oversight, and that as we yield to God, new things will occur and we'll be in the best situation to help others, to be at peace with Him, and to make a difference in this hurting world. Well, with today being the 4th of July and we celebrate our independence, let's be ever mindful of our dependence on God. And so here's a portion of the Battle Hymn of the Republic as sung by the Singing Men of GNN along with the Varsity Men's Glee Club, recorded on our first CD, Singing and Declaring the Wonders of God. This was done live at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. I love the message of the song, the arrangement, and the power in the lyrics as we march along, seeing the glory of God. Happy 4th of July, everyone, and may God's blessings rest on you today and always. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
My God has seen.